ever worry about money and whether you'll have enough to last? On today's show, Teresa Mitchell, also known as Lady Money, is here to talk about empowering women to make better choices when it comes to saving, spending, and investing their money. Teresa Mitchell is a newly retired certified financial planner and is the host and producer of the Lady Money podcast. This is Aspire with Osha, and I'm your host, Osha Hayden. Welcome to the show, Teresa.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Shall I call you Lady Money?
That's an interesting question. I actually don't think of myself as Lady Money. I think of Lady Money as aspirational, as a place that I think women should be in terms of having a better relationship with their money.
I'd like to hear from you how you got started in this business of the finance.
Well, it's kind of interesting, actually. My passion since I was a small child is cooking. So my first career was as a professional chef. I did that for about 20 years, and that encompassed a lot of things. I worked in restaurants. I was a restaurateur in San Francisco. I worked in the wine country. I was a spokesperson for a winery, and it was fabulous. The only problem was I didn't feel like I was really making a good living. I realized that I was not able to save for retirement, and that was really important. So I made a crazy switch to working for a financial firm here in the wine country, and it was a fabulous career. It was a way for me to help people have more peace of mind with their money and being able to focus on the things in life that were really important to them.
Mm-hmm. Don't a number of women have some fears around having enough money to retire on? Is that a common thing?
Absolutely. I actually wrote a blog posting on it called Fearing the Bag Lady. And I don't know have you ever heard of that term?
I think I read that blog post, in fact.
Well, it was a term developed back in the 70s or 80s. And there's actually nothing equivalent to it for men. So I think that's partly because women live longer. And there is a gap, their number of reasons, but part of it is the caregiving that we do, both raising children, and often it falls to us to take care of parents and other relatives that need help late in life. So the bag lady syndrome is really common. In fact, that was one of the reasons that potential clients would contact me as an advisor, is because they got to the point in their life, there's sort of a switch, I think, that we all flip. We feel invincible when we're young, and at some point things change and we start thinking, oh, I need to plan for the future. And I think some of the reason that women have this fear is they don't feel like they're in financial control. Not only do they not feel they are, but they don't think they're supposed to, because for so many generations, it's kind of been up to the man, to take care of the big financial things.
Well, and in times past, women weren't even allowed to own property or to inherit money or to have a bank account or a credit card without their husband co-signing or someone else, right?
So that's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. That was as recent as the 1970s. So you can see why women have an issue with it.
Yeah. So what do you do to help women?
You might say I sort of back into it. And I learned this as an advisor. I had an issue sometimes when I was working with couples the husband would show up to the meeting and the wife wouldn't come. And so I started hosting women's circles about money. And I fairly quickly discovered that starting with the numbers, with the charts and graphs, with the performance, that wasn't a conversation that women were comfortable with. So I decided to go where I think women really felt powerfully about, and that was values, that was family, that was community. So in the circle, we had a number of gatherings just talking about those. And eventually I said, well, how do you feel about an investing 101? Do you want to talk about some of those things? And then it was, sure, you know, that would be great. And next it was, you know, I think I'm going to call and make an appointment with you by myself or with another advisor. There were, you know, women with different advisors in that group, but it got them fired up. You know, that was the big point. And that was because they gained the confidence. That was because they decided that was okay, you know, because it wasn't just about the money. And so with Lady Money, that's the first step, is talking about values, making sure the woman is clear about that. Because I think of it as a compass. I tell women, that's your North Star. You know, money is a means to the end. It's not the end. So knowing what your values are gives you the foundation to make financial decisions.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. So you've been doing this for a while now. I mean, you were a certified financial planner for 20 years.
That's right. What I learned about it also is people are in different places in their life. And so that's the other thing about Lady Money, especially when I'm doing one-on-one coaching, is, as I said, we start with clarifying the values. And then the next step is to take a look at budget. And I usually call it a spending plan because most people don't have positive feelings about budget. But honestly, if you don't know what your financial situation is, if you don't know where you stand, it adds to that nagging discomfort. Are you going to be okay down the road? And that's where the bag lady syndrome comes in. Mm-hmm. Because unconsciously, we worry about that, but we just don't have the tools to address it.
So you help them figure out really where they are realistically at this point in their financial lives, what their values are, what's really meaningful to them. And then you help them work out a financial plan or a spending plan, a savings plan. You teach them about investing. Is that right?
That's right. The next step actually is putting the money and the values together, because that's where you get the momentum. That's what puts the wind in the woman's sails, so to speak, you know, because a lot of women, I know I was this way too, as a chef, you know, that was my passion, was food and cooking. So I didn't really pay attention to the money aspects for a long time until that nagging discomfort started coming up. So again, when you align money with someone's core values, then it starts making sense. And so part of the plan is to be sure that you're actually living those values. How can you make your money work for you? And part of that is the idea in terms of spending. Most people, you know, you sort of get in the habit of spending and you don't really think very deeply about it. There are certain, you know, basic expenses, and then there's discretionary. But again, you just sort of get used to spending in a certain way. And truthfully, there are fundamental needs underneath, you know, each aspect of the spending. And so if we can get to the point where we understand that, then you can, it puts it in perspective and you can make different choices, whether it's that you have values that you're not living because you don't think you could afford it, or maybe really social issues, certain causes are really important to you. So by having a better understanding of your spending, maybe you can make adjustments and really put more money behind the things that, you know, you feel really passionate about.
That's like when it comes to investing, there's certain types of companies I don't want to invest in. Fossil fuel, for example. I try to have investments that are not going to be doing harm to the earth or to the people on the earth. So that's one of those things when you're talking about the investing according to your values. Is that right?
Absolutely. And because a lot of people, you know, there was no education in school, and a lot of time our parents weren't really equipped to teach us. So I start with just basic investing. And it depends on where the woman is. You know, some people, which is fine, they're an expert in something else in their life, but they don't maybe know the difference between a stock and a bond or understand the different retirement accounts. So we start with wherever they are. And in terms of investing, you know, it may be as basic as what the components are. It may be a little bit about what allocation is, because in terms of a portfolio, the most basic components are the stocks, which are the growth driver, and bonds, which provide the stability and the liquidity. So once that's down, you have a discussion on risk, because honestly, investing, savings is for safety, that's short term. Investing is for long term. So you need to be sure you can stick with it. And one thing that prevents people from doing that is not having the peace of mind, you know, that they're worried about the market going up and down. So it's important to get that initial allocation right. The more bonds there are, the smoother the ride, but you still have to have enough growth to meet your goals. So once you've explained that to women, then I like to talk about sustainable investing.
Great. So we're going to go to a short break, and we'll be back in just a few moments with more from Teresa Mitchell, Lady Money. But before we go to break, I have some music for you from Chick Street Man, Be You, Not a Lady. Enjoy.
Like a drifting summer breeze, you go dancing free. Like the ring of a mambo jangle, you go dancing, dancing. You're more than just an illusion, lighting up my imagination. You're like a melody to a musician, to me, ah, to me. The more I see you, the more ways I see you dancing, dancing. You look like a sundown sailing by. When you go dancing, dancing, I feel like I'm filling in a foundation full of love and affection. You're just like a holiday revelation to me. Not a lady, somebody. you're not a lady, a somebody, 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 a somebody. You
You can hear Aspire with Osha every Thursday at 3 p.m. right here on KSVY Sonoma. You can also hear all of my podcasts at my website, and that is oshahayden.com. That's OSHAHAYDEN.com or on your favorite podcast app. This is Aspire with Osha, and I'm your host, Osha Hayden. If you're just joining me, I'm here with Teresa Mitchell, also known as Lady Money, for her podcast by the same name. So you're very passionate about helping women achieve financial security. What is it that drives you? What is it that you aspire to achieve?
I aspire to help women reach their full potential. And reason for that is I don't know about you, but growing up, I didn't feel like there were a lot of role models. I didn't feel like there were a lot of mentors for women. And I thought it took me a lot longer than I wish it had to really get going. And I want to pass on my experience in that area, because one of the things I didn't realize was in order to really a great definition for full potential is living the possibilities. And I didn't think I was doing that. And I finally found that one of the things that was standing in my way was I didn't have a good relationship with money. I was really totally disengaged from it. So that's one thing. And the other thing is there is a wonderful term called Golden Triangle of Happiness. And it's based on an Australian study of well-being. And what they determined is there are three factors that contributed to the people that responded and felt a deep satisfaction with life had three things. And one was close personal relationships. Another was a strong sense of purpose. And the third one was financial control. So, and again, because of the way women were raised, I know in my case, my father basically said, don't worry about your career. It's your husband's career that matters. And, you know, I carried that with me for many, many years. And so I think by doing a little work on your financial situation, making sure that that's reasonable, that you know, are preparing for retirement, even if someone else in your family handles those things, that you have a basic understanding and could step in if you need to. That gives women the freedom to really work on self-development, to really advocate for social change. And I don't think you'll disagree with me, especially based on what you're doing with your radio program and podcast, Aspire with Osha. You know, we need this. We need more women to be doing this today. Things are out of balance, but women have to know the game, I think, in order to play the game. And they've got to play the game in order to get more seats at the table.
And oh, nicely said. That was very nicely put, Teresa.
I feel like there's momentum. I feel like it's happening. You know, women are starting to step up, but they don't know, they're finding their voice, but they don't know how to make it powerful. And they don't know how to put the voices of women together so that in the society today, they can really, you know, make some of that change happen. And one of the things is social investing, because there's billions of dollars involved here. You and I, if we already own stocks and bonds and we sell a stock, we're selling it because there's a buyer. The company isn't going to know. It's going to really not have an effect. But if we're investing in sustainable funds with the companies that create these funds that do shareholder advocacy, then we're doing something. We're really doing something to bring about corporate change for the good.
Mm-hmm. And the power of women is a pretty powerful force, especially if we are fired up about something. And I think there are a few things to be fired up about right now in our world. So come on, women.
Yes, we can do it.
Power to us. Yeah. So this is one way to really empower yourself to be able to create more positive change in the world and your own life and in the world, right?
It's true. I've spoken with almost a couple thousand people in my years as a financial advisor, and I would say 2/3 are women, and you could hear it in their voice. It was usually over the phone. That was sort of pre-Zoom. So I couldn't see their body language, but I could feel it. And it was interesting. In those calls, I kind of called it an empowerment sandwich, because I would start out, "You're okay. You're amazing. You've already told me you have this fabulous career. You know, you're making a real difference there." But there was so much shame and apology when it came to the money. You know, they didn't know about investing. They had procrastinated, you know, whatever it was. And it was this very small voice, this entirely different, powerless woman. So I would try to build them up with the empowerment, you know, suggest some ways of education, and, you know, then hit it at the end with, "You can do this," because I know they can. It's just a matter of punching through the social barriers, the personal barriers, the lack of confidence. Women are smart. They're awesome. They're amazing. They're powerful.
And when we decide to do something, there's nothing that can stop us, really.
Just ourselves.
Yeah. When if we decide not to let ourselves stop us, then there's really nothing that can stop us. But yeah, yeah. I mean, part of it is that psychology of looking at those things that have blocked us from getting to that point of control before, and helping us deal with those things so that we can actually punch forward and move forward.
And I think that is part of it. I mean, I can't speak to every woman, but I think most women, and maybe it's because we're the child bearers, maybe because we're the keeper of the hearth, I don't know, but I think we're fundamentally optimistic and positive human beings. But when it comes to money, again, that's partly socially, we're programmed that we don't do it well. So there's this negative feedback that we get. And, you know, I think it's possible to change that. We have to work on that. Make it a habit to be positive mm-hmm. about money, and to realize mistakes are an opportunity. They're simply a challenge to overcome. And we grow. We become stronger by that. I mean, I've seen it in myself. I've seen it with the other women I've coached, with the people I advised as a financial advisor, is that when they felt like they were getting on top of something that had worried them deeply, they changed. It made a difference. It made a life difference.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense to me. It makes a lot of sense to me. And I know that when you were going to school way back, you were in theater arts.
That's right. I know.
You got your degree in theater arts, right?
That's true. That's true. And it was kind of a surprise that really didn't run in the family. And my father, I think he had a lot of issues with it because I know when I decided to go to culinary school after college, he told me that he thought it wasn't a very good idea because he was afraid it was going to be a hobby. And honestly, financially, he was right. It didn't stop me. I still did it. And it took me longer than it should have to come to the realization that while it was my passion, it was also my responsibility to support myself and my family. And that actually came to pass. My husband was disabled 15 years before he passed away.
Oh. And didn't you lose both your husband and your mother in
2020?
Last year.
I did.
That's really hard. But here you are.
Well, that was the thing. I had made the decision to take more financial responsibility, and I had already started working for the financial firm right before he was disabled. That was totally unexpected. It was a struggle ramping up to be the breadwinner fast enough, but I at least had a little bit of a head start. And
some women don't.
No, they don't.
The husband dies, suddenly it's up to them. They have no idea how the bank accounts and the investments and the bill paying, any of it works.
No, it's totally true. I mean, and even in my own case, even though I knew what to do, I didn't feel like doing it. So I was a little slow handling my mother's estate, even though it's now been a year and a half since she passed away. I'm just finally beginning to wrap that up.
I just want to say something here about that, though. I mean, the fact that you lost your husband and your mother, I think you get a real big, huge pass and a hug. So you don't have to do it quickly because that's enough to take care of along with the pandemic and everything else. That's a big, you know, big job.
It's true, but I think there was the expectation, and maybe a lot of it was my own expectation, was because this was in an area of my expertise that you know, I should be able to handle it. And, you know, it was fine. It worked out. But I just will say it's a very difficult time to do anything and to function normally. It's absolutely impossible to have to learn about it too. So women are typically the last ones standing, and we need to make sure, again, even if most of our lifetime we're not handling, you know, the aspects of the finances, we still need to have a basic understanding of what it is, where we are financially, and have given it some thought, you know, given some thought to end of life planning.
Right. Gaining control over our budgets, our finances, our investments is so important, especially now, at a time when our prices are going up exponentially on almost everything. When unexpected events come along, like the pandemic, we want to know that we have a cushion of savings tucked away. So let me ask you this. Do you feel that you are in control of your finances? If you are, bravo. If you're not, then are you ready to take some steps to empower yourself by learning more? Wouldn't it feel great to be able to invest your money in companies that are clean and ethical? To grow your nest egg and invest your dollars wisely in alignment with your values? This is just one of the ways that we can support the positive changes we'd like to see happening in our world. You can learn some great tips when you listen to Teresa's Lady Money podcast. So we're going to a short break, so stay tuned for more insight from Teresa Mitchell on Aspire with Osha. We're here every Thursday at 3 p.m. on KSVY Sonoma. You can also listen to all of my podcasts at my website, oshahayden.com, or on your favorite podcast app. Thanks for listening. This is Aspire with Osha, Art, Nature, Humanity, and I'm your host, Osha Hayden. In case you're just joining me, I'm here with Teresa Mitchell, Lady Money, and check out her podcast wherever you get your podcast. It's a wonderful, wonderful podcast, very inspiring. We were just talking about how important it is for women to really take control of their finances. And how that affects their whole lives, right? What you're saying is it's so empowering. How does it free women up?
Well, it's kind of like a domino effect. When you start taking financial control, that puts you on the path to financial security. And when you feel financially secure, you have peace of mind. And I think we would both agree that's an incredibly precious commodity. I mean, it's mm-hmm. really essential to our health and well-being. I think financial control, I think people don't understand what's really involved. One of the problems with money is women have a couple of different attitudes toward it. And one is a negative, you know, money is evil, money is bad. And I think you can certainly see examples in the world of that. But having a certain amount of money, it goes back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I don't know if mm-hmm. you're familiar with that psychological model, but
security.
Yes. He
is at
the bottom. Yeah. He does it mm-hmm. as a pyramid. And the foundation of the pyramid are the basic needs, you know, in terms mm-hmm. of the roof over your head, the food to eat, and all those things.
Safety yeah. and security. And it takes some money to have those things, doesn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. So that's mm-hmm. where the financial control comes in. And then once that you have those under control, then you can address your psychological needs. And lastly, fulfillment. And mm-hmm. I think, at least in my case, I don't know how you feel about it, but earlier in my life, maybe I was more concerned with the bottom two tiers of the pyramid. But as you get in the, I used to say last stage or fourth stage, you know, of life, but someone told me they think it should be five stages because, you know, when you're older and are in that fourth stage, you might make it to the fifth stage, and that kind of gives you something to look forward to. So whatever you want to say, that later stages of life, that sense of fulfillment and legacy are very important. Mm-hmm. So that's part of it, thinking of money as a negative. The other is to think of it as numbers. You know, I have to have $1 million in the bank. Otherwise, I'm not going to feel financially secure. And that isn't necessarily true. Being in financial control is understanding your situation and having made some sort of fundamental plan. And it doesn't have to be elaborate. If you have a complicated situation, I think maybe you want to check with a professional financial advisor and run a full-blown comprehensive financial plan. But if your situation is simpler, I mean, you can take a legal pad. You can take an Excel spreadsheet, something like that. And it's a matter of what's your monthly nut, you know, in terms of spending, and then subtract any kind of retirement income you're going to have, you know, maybe just Social Security. It may be rental income. It may be whatever it is, you know, and figure out where the gap is, what's left. And that becomes what you need to save. That becomes your investment portfolio is going to need to cover that. But it doesn't have to mean the sun, moon, and the stars, you know, just as long as enough. That well-being study that Australia did, basically after $75,000 a year income, that was, it pretty much didn't matter. It didn't add a lot in happiness above that. So once the needs were met, you know, most people were going to feel pretty good about things.
Can you give us an example or two, you know, you can use fake names, of women that you've helped and where they were when you started and where they ended up?
Sure. I think one of them would be an example of a woman that has money, but she hasn't really thought it through, hasn't really done the long-term planning. She's very, most women are, you know, on top of the day-to-day stuff. But in her case, not having done the plan meant she wasn't spending. You know, every time that she had an expense come up, especially something that was unexpected, there was a sense of fear and discomfort, even though she had the money.
Mm.
So, and that was definitely a problem, and not with, just with women, with men as well. You know, they have enough money, but they're not spending it. So, and we can't take it with us. So there isn't.
Yeah, there's never been. You don't see the hearse. You don't see the hearse with a trailer behind it, right?
No.
Go on this way to the.
No. And most people near the end of their life, they don't even talk about, you know, how much money they had or have, mm-hmm. or any of those things. It's hopefully about, you know, the relationships they did have, not the ones they didn't have, but relationships, mm-hmm. and again, you know, maybe accomplishments, legacy. So the woman wasn't spending. There were things that I don't know if she was even at first allowing herself to think about things she wanted to do. But as we worked on more of a plan to show that to quite a long age, because women do live longer. I know when I used to plan, I used to run life longevity to 95. My mother lived to 95. So that's mm-hmm. not unreasonable. If you have in your family, family members that have lived a long time, you know, you could go even a little bit higher. But once you do that, then you start plugging in, you know, that special family trip. I knew one woman that took a cruise with her entire family.
Mm.
That's what she wanted to do. And that meant her children, her husband had passed away. And so she just wanted to do something special that she would remember and that they would remember for the rest of their lives. So I think it was a cruise to Alaska. Mm-hmm. And so this was her children and her grandchildren. So it was a big, happy group.
Yeah.
And so you need to be able to do those kind of things. Maybe it's self-help, getting massages, taking art classes, or maybe it's charitable. You know, I mean, sure, you can die and leave money to an important cause, but what about doing something today? Roseland or the arts theater, those desperately need support right now after COVID and having so many venues shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Do it now. You know, give an artist a, you know, a chance to continue to pursue their career rather than having to give up. Support a theater company that's dark, you know, or whatever that is. So if you understand your financial situation and have done the work to at least do a simple plan, you know, then you can make those kind of choices.
And it's not really all that hard, is it?
It's not. And again, if somebody has a complicated situation, go get professional help. But if it's simpler, mm-hmm. you know, it's simply a matter of laying it out. And then I think the flip side is the woman that nagging feeling of insecurity is reaching a crescendo, needs to do something. And so then it's a matter of going through the budget, you know, not for taking that fabulous trip, but figuring out how she can save for retirement. And it honestly, mm-hmm. if you start soon enough, most of us weren't smart enough to start in our 20s, which would have made it extremely easy. But when you start later, sure, you have to save more. But, you know, if you at least have a decade or two, it's not that much, really. And a lot of times, again, if you can analyze those needs and the spending, you know, you can find places to pull the money. So it goes into that IRA or 401k or whatever plan that you have. And actually, you know, studies have shown even if you're starting down the path, you're not even there yet, you feel a lot better. You're in control.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the key, is to understand your situation and what you need to reach, to feel in control so that you're on the path to Social Security or maintaining your sense of financial security.
Mm-hmm. As well as being empowering, I want to look at the big picture now for a minute and say that it's possible that what we need in the world right now is a lot more women who are empowered and who are empowered around in control of their money. Because with more women in greater control of their own money, in greater control of their own lives, I think that the world would be a much better place. That's one of the things that they say the UN has said. They have goals for women becoming educated, raising them out of poverty and to higher levels. And once the women are empowered that way and become more successful, it raises all boats.
That's absolutely true. The dilemma, especially in this country, is the lack of safety nets in terms of women. Women are still expected to be responsible for childcare, for elder care. And, you know, that's one of the reasons there's already the gender pay gap. But the really more critical thing is the gender wealth gap. And a lot of that is true because of women having to take time out or women not being able to take promotions because they're juggling caregiving. And you can look at the studies, but if you have a doubt that that's true, look at COVID. Look at the percentages of women dropping out of the workforce. I think that's one of the reasons, you know, there are several, but one of the reasons companies are having trouble hiring is I don't think those women are back yet. You know, so that's an unappreciated contribution, you know, as you say, to our economic situation.
Well, and one of the things is that a lot of the jobs that women do are not valued correctly. So caregiving, education of the children, so many things that women do are not valued economically or reimbursed economically. We're set up to compensate people for producing widgets.
Right.
Right? Producing widgets that they can sell, that we're not really set up for taking care of people. And I think that there was an idea floated out there for there to be universal childcare, and which they do have in many Scandinavian countries. And it seems as though that would be one thing that could make a huge difference in the lives of women if they had really high quality childcare that they could rely on and count on to take good care of their kids while they were at work. What kind of a difference would that make in people's lives?
No, I'm a huge believer in actually having childcare and pet care at work, because I think that would make a big difference to people's quality of life. You know, imagine being able to take your dog out for a walk at lunch or go check on your child during the day. And that's the other side. You know, you talked about raising all the boats in an improving universal economic situation. What I don't think a lot of people pay attention to is the price that we're paying for not doing this. And I'm sure you've seen, mm-hmm. I mean, sure, it's partly the pandemic, but teen suicide rates are rising. Addiction rates are rising. Crime, violent crime is rising.
People are unhappy.
Well, and not only are they unhappy, it's not working anymore.
Right.
And I think this is part of it. And our social support systems are shattered because of the mobile society, you know, not living in the same village as the rest of your family. Mm-hmm. And so I doubt that is going to change. But as you say, there's a solution, you know, installing reasonable safety nets so that women especially mm-hmm. are protected. And, you know, you wonder what's going to happen between gray divorce and the idea that the level of women's poverty in retirement is so much higher than men's. You know, as the population increases, I mean, it's already a crisis. We're just not dealing with it. But it seems to me, don't you mm-hmm. think? I mean, it's going to become a crisis that we will be forced to deal with.
Well, that's why I think that what you're doing, Teresa, is really important. I think it's a very important service that you're doing and what you're offering for people to help them get control of their finances and be empowered to be able to do that. So I encourage everyone to listen to your podcast. It's really a great podcast. I very much enjoy it. How do they get in touch with you?
Just send me an email, ladymoneyllc@gmail.com.
ladymoneyllc@gmail.com. And that's where you'll find Teresa if you want to get in touch with her. You have women's groups that are going, like group coaching and single coaching and the podcast and lots of different ways that people can get involved in learning more about their money.
That's right. And I'm also going to be starting a monthly women's circle. I think it will be virtual, because that gives us the option for women from all over the country and actually in certain time zones internationally to participate. So that's coming up.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Teresa. It's been just such a pleasure.
You're welcome. My pleasure as well.
And to my listeners, have an inspired week and live your joy.